fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. A fantastic Friday to you. Come to the end of another week, and Friday shows are always a lot of fun, and we have a dynamite show for you today. I can't wait to get going. The number to call, 1-888-914-9149. 1-888-914-9149. Toll free, the call's on me. You can also tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. That's my Twitter handle. We also have a show account, too, at Cale Clark Show. Email, cale@relevantradio.com. And yes, I just cracked open. I should have done this on the air. You know, that sound of the can cracking open. That's always fun. And producer Lucas asked me, oh, what's your beverage of choice tonight? And don't worry. Don't worry. It's nothing that's going to put me out of commission or anything. It's just a Pepsi Zero Sugar, the official drink of the Cale Clark Show. And I'm not even getting paid to say that. I should though. What were you going to say, producer Lucas? Okay. Well, I thought you wanted to hop in there, but yes, no, maybe we should call it, I don't know, the official Beersheba. We were talking about Beersheba today and Abraham planting a tree in Beersheba on the Faith Explained program. Maybe that should be the name of my basement studio, Beersheba. I don't know. But anyways, just a couple of light housekeeping items before we get into a very interesting topic. Wow, this is something else. This article that I read today from the New York Times, I had to share this with you. I had to scrap my plans for today's show. I had all the stuff I was going to share with you, but we have to live in the moment. And sometimes something comes across that's so compelling, I got to throw my old plan out the window and share this with you. So that's what I'm going to do in just a moment. But just a couple of light housekeeping items. First of all, happy anniversary to my wife, Patricia. Today's our wedding anniversary. And yes, I did talk to her today outside of the show. So this isn't the first time that I've told her happy anniversary. But I just want to say that. It's our sweet 16. 16 years ago today, we were married. And also, shout out to my good pal, Chris Cooney, who is Michaela's godfather. And he turns 50 today. I don't know if he wants me to say that, but men, it's a little different. We can talk about our ages with a little bit more, less fear of reprisal. And anyways, he's 50. It's his golden anniversary, if you will, his golden anniversary of being born onto life in this planet. So happy birthday, Chris. You're a great, great dude and a great godfather to Michaela and one of the best guys out there. So hope you're having a great day. Hope your family is spoiling you to bits. Well, you're going to want to stick around later in the show, too, because producer Lucas has been hard at work on The Week That Was, which is always one of the highlights of the week for me. Definitely a Friday fun time. The Week That Was, that's coming up later. You're going to get all the highlights from the past week on The Cale Clark Show in a tight little package. It's going to be so much fun. We'll unpack that for you later. But wanted to draw your attention to a really interesting article. And if you follow me on Twitter, at Cale Clark, I did tweet about this. And I hat tip to Tish Oxenrider, and I mentioned her work on the program. She's a writer. She's actually coming into the Catholic Church this Easter. I'm so excited about that. And I saw on her Twitter account that she had linked to this, so I did as well. It's a really interesting article from the New York Times called The Empty Religions of Instagram. The Empty Religions of Instagram. Now, it's not really so much about Instagram per se. I do not have an Instagram account. I don't know. I'd have to comb my hair or something or shave to be able to take a picture of myself. So I'm in the pandemic mode. I don't know if you can relate. So it's not really so much about Instagram, but it is about the nuns. And I don't mean religious sisters. I'm talking about N-O-N-E-S, the nuns, those who profess to belong to no religion, to have no religious affiliation. It's a growing segment in our society, and we need to be concerned about how to reach these people with the gospel. But this is a really interesting take, The Empty Religions of Instagram, and the author is Lee Stein. And Lee Stein wrote a book, a novel actually, called Self-Care. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Self-Care. It's a satire about the wellness industry. There's a lot... We're going to get into that in a minute. And the influencer culture. It's a satire of the influencer culture and the wellness industry, which plays into this article that she wrote called The Empty Religions of Instagram. So she talks about somebody who I had not heard of. I had never heard of this person. Maybe you have. Glennon Doyle. Glennon Doyle is a lady whose memoir, which is called Untamed, has been pretty much at the top of the New York Times bestseller list for almost a year, for 51 weeks. And I'm just not with it, I guess. I did not know who Glennon Doyle was until I read this piece. Producer Lucas, have you ever heard of her? I don't know. I certainly didn't. But apparently, according to Lee Stein, the author of this piece, Glennon Doyle has a sort of a gospel of her own, if you will, an accessible combination of self-care, activism, and tongue-in-cheek Christianity. And you can worship at the feet of Miss Doyle, if you will, at the Electric Church of her Instagram feed. And really what she's done here is she's replaced the dogma of religion with the confessional lingua franca of social media. And she's become a charismatic preacher for women who are not religious. Women like Lee Stein, the author of this article, The Empty Religions of Instagram. So Lee Stein mentions that she's one of the nuns. She self-identifies as a nun. And 22% of millennials right now, 22%, according to the Pew Research Center, and everybody respects the Pew Research Center for their findings, 22% of millennials identify as nuns, no religious affiliation. Now, that has gone up almost 10% in the last 10 years. So the nuns are on the rise, if you will. And there's a lot of reasons why people are not affiliated with any particular religion. They may not like the teachings of the religion that perhaps they were born into or used to belong to. Maybe they don't like what their religious community says about certain issues in society, culture, not sure. So she asks the question, Lee Stein asks the question in this New York Times article, are we truly not religious, or are our belief systems too bespoke to appear on a list of major religions in a Pew Research Center survey? That's interesting. And of course, you've probably heard that expression, are you broke, are you woke, or are you bespoke? And I guess being bespoke when it comes to the nuns and spirituality is to belong to the quote-unquote Electric Church of Instagram. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. We're talking about this New York Times article, The Empty Religions of Instagram. So you can head on over to my Twitter account. I linked to that article. You can check it out and read it. It's really interesting stuff. And she says this, Lee Stein in her article says, many millennials who have turned their backs on religious tradition because it isn't diverse or inclusive, they've found alternative scripture online. And she says, this new belief system that the nuns have, this Electric Church of Instagram and other social media, is a blend of left-wing political orthodoxy, feminism, self-optimization, therapy, wellness, astrology, and Dolly Parton. I have no idea how Dolly Parton fits into all this, but these are the new dogmas, if you will, of this Electric Church. And she also says the Electric Church not only does it have certain dogmas, it also has a sort of clergy. And who are the clergy of the Electronic Church? Well, they would be personal growth influencers, people like Glennon Doyle, people like, she also mentions, Gwyneth Paltrow, who wants to ensnare you with her particular brand of wellness called Goop. And apparently it's pretty dubious. I haven't been into it, but I've heard lots of complaints about it. That's for sure. Brené Brown would be another person who has 3.3 million Instagram followers. Gabrielle Bernstein, 916,000 Instagram followers. And I'm going to get talk a little bit in a second about what these ladies believe, but this is kind of the clergy, if you will, the celebrity clergy of the Electronic Church. And in her article, Lee Stein speaks to somebody named Kimberly Ciano, who's a 31-year-old health practitioner on Long Island. And she found out about Glennon Doyle via her Instagram feed, if you will. And she's followed a spiritual path that may sound familiar to other nuns. She grew up Roman Catholic, but she became alienated from the Catholic faith when she saw the church's quote-unquote hypocrisy. She started studying yoga, Eastern philosophy. She wound up losing a job. A 10-year relationship that she had, a romantic relationship, fell apart. Her grandmother passed away. And she started, that's when she kind of discovered the writings of Glennon Doyle and the Instagram account of Glennon Doyle. And one of the things that Glennon Doyle says is it's okay to not be okay. I suppose that's okay. I suppose that's not necessarily a bad message there, but here's the fascinating insight from Lee Stein in this article. And this is the thing that really kind of grabbed me. She says that these people, Glennon Doyle, Gwyneth Paltrow, Brené Brown, Gabrielle Bernstein, this clergy, if you will, of the electronic church, they're really, in a sense, they're basically like televangelists. Now, we all remember televangelists, of course. People like Oral Roberts, Jim Baker, Jimmy Swaggart, some of whom were involved in a lot of scandals and a lot of widespread wrongdoing, if you will. Closer to our own time, just a couple weeks ago, you might have heard in the news cycle about Ravi Zacharias and his fall from grace. Now, Ravi Zacharias is deceased. He's no longer with us. But after his death, a lot of rumors about him came to be known as true, that he was involved in all kinds of scandal from a sexual point of view. He headed up a very, very large apologetics organization in the Protestant world. They claim to be the largest in the world, the Ravi Zacharias International Ministries. And he was a guy who was pretty influential in my own life. And producer Lucas as well will tell you that he was super influential in producer Lucas coming to believe in Christ. And so this is one that's kind of more close to our own time. But the idea of televangelists, now televangelism obviously was pretty big in the second half of the 20th century, to be sure. But in a sense, that's what these women are doing right now, these social influencers are doing on platforms like Instagram, according to Lee Stein from the New York Times. She calls them Instavangelists. Instavangelists. Our screens may have shrunk, she writes, but we're still drawn to spiritual counsel, especially when it doubles as entertainment. Oh, and there's so much to unpack there. There's so many roads we could go down with that statement. Spiritual counsel doubling as entertainment. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, talking about this article that appeared in the New York Times called The Empty Religions of Instagram by Lee Stein. So really what Stein says is that these Instavangelists, these influential women who are preaching to millions of people, really what they're offering people is what the old televangelists used to offer in the second half of the 20th century. It's basically the prosperity gospel rebranded, remixed, the prosperity gospel. Except now it's called something else. Now they call it, quote unquote, manifesting abundance. Manifesting abundance. I don't know if you've come across this, you're going to want to call in. If you have any take on this, 1-888-914-9149 is Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So if you haven't heard of the prosperity gospel, and this is obviously something that was much more, maybe even almost exclusively in Protestant and evangelical circles, the prosperity gospel, which was championed by a lot of these televangelists, was essentially this. I'll summarize it for you. God wants you healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if you're not all of those things, there must be something wrong. If you're broke, if you're sick, maybe you're not the smartest or the sharpest knife in the drawer, then there's something wrong here, and it's probably your fault. It's probably your fault. There must be some sin in your life, something that's blocking the flow of God's grace to you. Otherwise, you'd be rich and happy and have great relationships. And so, in a sense, it's your fault. You're blocking God's blessing, but for a small fee or maybe a large fee, we can get you out of this jam. We will send you a blessed prayer hanky, and you can donate to our ministry, and voila, everything should be fine for you again, unless it's not, and then, of course, it's your fault. So this is a very, very damaging theological outlook, and maybe you've heard about this. Maybe, unfortunately, you've been trapped by one of these frauds in your life. And I've met people who have been. Have you ever heard of Benny Hinn? Now, Benny Hinn was a very famous televangelist perhaps he still is, had a private plane because he says the Lord's servant needs to travel in style. So he had his own plane. On his TV show, it showed him meeting Pope John Paul II. It's very interesting because Benny Hinn would always dress in all white when he was doing his healing rallies, his miracle rallies, almost like the Pope. But when he actually met the Pope, at least he had the good sense not to dress in all white. I don't think Pope John Paul II knew who he was at all when he met him. No idea, but Benny Hinn used this as a kind of an unofficial endorsement from the Pope on his television show. He would show himself shaking hands with JP2 at any rate. So he would do all these quote-unquote miracle healings. People who allegedly couldn't walk would get up from the wheelchair, start walking around, that sort of thing. He never did open the eyes of a person born blind. That's always interesting to me. And I actually, during my Protestant years, in one of the congregations I was a part of, there was a family who had a young daughter who was in very, very bad shape medically. She was a quadriplegic. She could not speak. This poor girl had suffered a lot. And she would make these involuntary noises as part of her condition. And this would sometimes even happen during worship services. Well, Benny Hinn came to town with his healing crusade. And these parents, who were people of faith, they took their daughter to see Benny Hinn in the hopes that this is sort of a last-ditch effort that God would heal her through Benny Hinn. Well, they got kicked out of the arena by security staff because Pastor Benny likes it to be quiet when the Spirit is moving for healing. And this young girl, unfortunately, was making a lot of noise. Not her fault. It was part of her condition. And these parents were heartbroken. They pretty much almost lost their faith at all. And so anyways, you probably heard a lot of stories like that. And you know people like that who I'm mentioning. But this is different because in this case, in the Electric Church of Instagram, these are essentially women who are running the show here, and they're preaching to women, and they're trying to give them some sort of spiritual hope. And Lee Stein, who wrote this article in the New York Times, she says, "I was once one of those millennials who made politics her religion. I lasted 3 years as a feminist activist and organizer before I burned out in 2017. That's when I began noticing how many wellness products and programs were marketed to women in pain and how the social media industry relies on keeping women outraged and engaged. It's no wonder we're seeking relief." So she was into politics, looking for something. And here's what she says. She goes on to say, "I've survived the pandemic so far by performing the role of tough cookie and shielding myself with cynicism. This is a really interesting line. The only times I've cried," she says, "have been when religion has punctured the bubble that I live in." And she mentions a couple instances, for example, the funeral of politician John Lewis, and also when Garth Brooks sang Amazing Grace a cappella at the Biden inauguration. So she says the only time she's cried during the pandemic has been when religion somehow punctured the bubble that she lives in. And this is where this piece gets really, really interesting from a Catholic perspective. Really interesting indeed. She starts talking about how she has hardly prayed to God since she was a teenager, but the pandemic cracked open something inside of her, a profound yearning. And I'll tell you what that yearning is after we take a really, really quick break here on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you want to react to this, call in 1-888-914-9149.
Once we arrive to the offertory, it's our turn to give something to God. Hi, this is Father Rocky with our 21st Lenten lesson on the Mass. After the prayers of the faithful, the Mass enters into a new and profound phase, the ritual of offering and sacrifice. Pay attention because a lot is going on. The ministers place the corporal, the purificator, the chalice, the pall, and the missal on the altar. If this were a meal, the table is now set, but this is not a meal. It's a sacrifice, and the sacrifice is ready to begin. Members of the faithful can offer their sacrifice. Typically on Sundays, a collection is taken up. That monetary sacrifice is real, but also symbolic of what we hope is a deeper reality, the readiness to sacrifice our hearts, minds, souls, and bodies for the love of God.
Mass with Father Rocky, noon Central.
And join us for class after Mass. Hi, I'm Cale Clark. It's The Faith Explained, 1230 Central every day on Relevant Radio.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's fantastic Friday on The Cale Clark Show. Hey, I should tell you this. Easter's coming up, as we know. And what happens the week after Easter? It's Divine Mercy Sunday. And our own Drew Mariani from Relevant Radio, and of course this show precedes mine on this network, has written a book called Divine Mercy. And you can get it. And Drew has obviously been involved with the Divine Mercy movement for decades. And he's got so many great stories about people in this book who've been touched by God's divine mercy. And that helps to really flesh out the message a lot, I think. Whenever you preach a sermon, they always tell you, throw some illustrations in there. You've got to put flesh on those bones. And that's really what his book does so, so well. So if you want to get a copy of this book, it's totally free. There's no shipping, no handling, no cost to you at all. All you've got to do is go on the Relevant Radio app or relevantradio.com and go to relevantradio.com/mercy. Or you could just click on the link on the app. You'll see it. It's right at the top of the banner. And you can get this book. You can sign up and it will be mailed to you, and you can be among the first to get Drew Mariani's book on divine mercy. So check that out. So we've been talking about this really interesting article in the New York Times called The Empty Religions of Instagram. Really all about this electric church, these influencers who have been peddling a sort of gospel, and it's very similar to the old prosperity gospel that televangelists used to peddle a lot, especially in the 80s and maybe even a little bit today. And we've got a couple calls on the line about this. We're going to go to John, who's calling from Philadelphia. John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, just to applaud you, Gail, okay, your observations and that of the writer, you know, is what I've been calling out, okay, much to everybody's chagrin, because it seems like I'm the only one in the room who believes it, that we're being brainwashed systematically, okay? And, of course, the women are being sacrificed and abused again, okay, by being misled, you know, by this promise of independence and how happy they're going to be. And, you know, the abortion clinics, okay, are filled with, women who went there to further their career, you know, finish their education, and the wedding of the political, okay, and the spiritual, you know, the independence and be free, and then look at the sad case of affairs where you have 60% of the marriages ending up on the rocks. And if you live together with your boyfriend, okay, it's 80%, okay?
Yeah.
Terrible. So all of the things that they've been preaching, okay, are proving untrue. Finally, we have someone who's honest to say, you know, I was caught up in all that stuff, and now I see it for what it is. But I think the rosary, okay, that, that Mary keeps encouraging us to do, they say it changed the evil spirits, okay? It actually changed them, okay, somehow, spiritually speaking, that they can't do their evil, okay? They have to go away because of the barrage, if you will. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Padre Pio always called it his weapon. He was going to go get his weapon and pray for a resolution here. So I kind of think that is the beginning of the solution, okay? It's God's the ultimate solution.
That's a great point, John. I just want to jump in there and react to some of what you said. I think it's a great point that in some ways there's been a false form of feminism that has been foisted on women in the culture for the last several decades, and the church has provided an alternative to that. Notably, and I talked about this on a recent program, the writings of St. Edith Stein gives a real, and St. John Paul II really promoted her work as a beacon of true feminism in the world, and I always feel a little bit shy speaking about these things because I'm a guy. That's why I wish Karen Moran was here today, but she's not here. She's taking a well-deserved day off, probably listening to us right now in Arizona, not having to change your clocks this weekend. And yeah, I am jealous, you Arizonians. You, I tell you, I think they're called Arizonans, not Arizonians, but anyways, you know what I mean. And yeah, John, you're absolutely right with the rosary, for example, being such a great weapon against evil and false teaching. And that's really how it came to be with St. Dominic fighting the Albigensian heresy. We had Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, a Dominican friar, on the show earlier this week talking about just that. Absolutely the case. Now, I will say this, and it's with respect to what these high priestesses of the Electric Church are preaching, I do think some people are choosing this message, to be sure. Something in this message is resonating with women today, but the question is, what is it and why is it resonating? So I'm going to jump back in and talk about that a little bit in just a second, but we're just going to take another quick call right now. Sean is calling from San Gabriel, California. Sean, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Kel, thank you. Nice to meet you. It's my first time ever calling Relevant Radio, but I love you guys, and God bless you all.
Oh, appreciate that, Sean.
I was listening to you. My pleasure. I was listening to you here as I'm driving, and you mentioned the word attraction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it reminded me, years ago, I got exposed when I was a young salesman, you know, to mm-hmm. a lot of, sales training that was very rah-rah, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a mentor who started to expose me to a lot of these writings. Believe it or not, it started with Ralph Waldo Emerson,
yeah.
the whole concept of self-reliance. You know, a lot of mm-hmm. this stuff, I think, grows out of the Industrial Revolution and, you know, and then there was a whole plethora of, you know, denominations and not just denominations, Protestant denominations, but other religions that kind of, emerged in American history.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a bunch of books that I got exposed to. You know, probably the most well-known would be Napoleon Hill.
Oh yeah,
who wrote Think and Grow Rich.
Think and Grow Rich,
you know, the
absolutely.
Laws of success, and one of the laws of success is the law of attraction. So I think a lot mm-hmm. of this stuff. I'm not an Instagram guy or any of the social media, but I obviously I do know all about the televangelists of the 60s and 70s
mm-hmm.
and 80s. But I think this stuff is even older than that. It goes back, you know, this
yeah.
idea of the law of attraction, where whatever you set your mind to. If you concentrate on your abundance, you're mm-hmm. going to attract more abundance. If you
yeah.
concentrate on your lack, you're going to attract more lack. And, this prosperity stuff, it comes from that. And, even like people like Oprah Winfrey and Wayne Dyer, they're more recent manifestations of it. But unfortunately, I think it just goes way, way back, all the way
yeah,
back, probably at the beginning of time. But
yeah, in a sense, it's kind of diabolical. And I do think in that sense, it goes back to the beginning to the devil himself in a certain sense. And so I do agree with you 100%. This law of attraction probably predates all of this. And these guys are picking up on those themes. We can also talk about The Secret, that book and that movement. And I think Oprah had I can't remember who wrote The Secret. Patrick Alog, I'm sure, will be Googling it as I'm speaking. But The Secret, remember that book? That was just a huge phenomenon, swept the world,
do.
The law of attraction. And that was really... And that hoodwinked a lot of Catholics, too. I gave a lot of talks about this years ago. And so, yeah, I do agree with you, Sean. These concepts. Rhonda Byrne wrote The Secret. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate that. And, yeah, that she's made a lot of money, but she's led a lot of people astray, to be sure. So, Sean, thank you very much for that call. First-time caller. And thanks for listening to Relevant Radio. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much.
And,
love you
hey,
guys. God bless.
God bless you. Call anytime. That was Sean calling from San Gabriel, California. Yeah, so all of this kind of plays into this very interesting piece from the New York Times by Lee Stein called The Empty Religions of Instagram, talking about the quote-unquote Electric Church. And again, Lee Stein is one of the nuns. She is an avowed nun, if you will. And I'm not talking about a religious sister. She's one of the N-O-N-E-S. The nuns. She has no religious affiliation whatsoever. But she did say that the only time she's cried during the pandemic has been when religion has punctured somehow this bubble that she is living in. And as I said, this is where things get super, super interesting from a Catholic perspective. Because she says this, I've hardly prayed to God since I was a teenager, but the pandemic has cracked open inside of me a profound yearning for reverence, humility, and awe. I have an overdraft on my outrage account. And listen to this. This is profound. Listen to this. She says, I want moral authority from someone who isn't shilling a memoir or calling out her enemies on social media for clout. Wow. Wow. And this is the line from her piece that's been probably retweeted the most and quoted the most over the last few days. She says, look, I want moral authority. The fact that she even said that is really interesting to me. And she says, I want moral authority from someone who's not trying to make a quick buck, shilling a memoir, selling a book, that sort of thing. Or number two, I don't want somebody who's part of a warring social media tribe trying to slam dunk on their opponent. And so I thought that was, and that's really obviously the key line that stood out to a lot of people as they've read this article. And of course, this is Lee Stein writing in the New York Times. And she goes on to say some even more interesting things. She says, left-wing secular millennials may follow politics devoutly. And she uses the word devoutly. I think that's on purpose. But the women we've chosen as our moral leaders aren't challenging us to ask the fundamental questions that leaders of faith have been wrestling with for thousands of years. Why are we here? Why do we suffer? What should we believe in beyond the limits of our puny selfhood, as she calls it? She says the whole economy of Instagram is based on our thinking about ourselves, posting about ourselves, working on ourselves. And you kind of expect this from Lee Stein because she did write a book, after all, called Self-Care, which is a satire of the whole wellness industry, which is obviously a big part of what's going on Instagram these days. And so this is interesting because she says that the secular millennials that are out there, they're not asking the big questions of life. Why are we here? Why do we suffer? What should we believe in? That's interesting. She talks about her mom. Her mom is 72 years old. She's a lay minister at her church. She's a psychotherapist. She does a lot of volunteer work, that sort of thing. And she says, I've told my mom that I find myself craving role models my age who are not only righteous crusaders, but also humble and merciful. Humble and merciful. I found that really interesting. She's looking for somebody who's a role model, who's a righteous crusader, but also humble and merciful. Let me just ask you, if you're listening to me right now on the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, who do you know that's humble and merciful? Hopefully the person that comes to mind right away is Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ. Humble and merciful. And everybody who I've showed this article to today has said the exact same thing. Well, she's looking for Jesus. She's looking for Jesus. And then she starts talking about this person called Ms. Ciano. And Ms. Ciano was somebody who was following on Instagram, I guess, this Glennon Doyle, who's written this New York Times bestseller, Untamed. She's one of the high priestesses of the electronic church, if you will. And this Ms. Ciano was following Ms. Doyle looking for peace during this dark time. And she started leaving comments on Ms. Doyle's Instagram posts, talking about all her hardships, everything that she's been through. And there was never a response to any of these posts that she would make. And Lee Stein says, really, what's going on here? This is a confession without a confessor. This woman is wanting to make confession to Glennon Doyle, and she's not getting a response. She's looking for confession, but there's no confessor. And I thought, wow, I wonder if this woman knows what she must know at some level what she's really saying here. And then she says this: there's a chasm between the vast scope of our needs and what influencers can provide. We're looking for guidance in the wrong places. Instead of helping us to engage with our most important questions, our screens might be distracting us from them. Maybe we need to actually go to something like church, she writes. Wow, our screens might be distracting us from the most important questions instead of answering them. Maybe we need to actually go to something like church, like an actual church, not the electric church. So that is pretty wild. That is pretty wild. So this is a really interesting piece. I encourage you to read this. This is from Lee Stein. I've linked to it on my Twitter account, at Cale Clark. You can check that out. Follow me on Twitter. The Empty Religions of Instagram in the New York Times by Lee Stein. So, number of thoughts on this. This is just full of all kinds of things to talk about. One reason why you might want to read this especially if you know somebody who fits into this category. Maybe you have a millennial in your life. Maybe you are a millennial. You have friends who are part of the nun generation. This is a great insight into how these guys think from a spiritual perspective. It's the fastest growing group in the United States right now. No official religious affiliation, the nuns. So if you want to know how they think, you should check this out. The second thing that I took from this is that despite the fact that they say that they're nuns, they have no religious affiliation, there's still a huge hunger for true spirituality among this generation. And you can call me if you want to talk about this. If you have a question about this, you can call 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So there is a real hunger for spirituality in this group of the nuns. And the New York Times agrees. Even the New York Times thought enough of this article to put this out there and publish it and promote it. So they think it's important enough to print. So something is going on here, to be sure. And it makes sense because we know, as Catholics, men and women are spiritual beings. So we are looking to worship something, and you're going to worship something. The only question is, are you going to worship the one true and living God, or are you going to worship essentially an idol, something that's not God, something that falls short? So that's important to know. And then I found myself asking the question as I was reading this piece, you know, what is the author really looking for here? What is Lee Stein really looking for when she wrote this article, The Empty Religions of Instagram? I think almost everything that she's looking for and everything that the nuns, quote unquote, are really looking for in the electric church, in the electronic church, in the church of Instagram, they're actually looking for Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. I mean, just listen to what she says. She says, quote, I want moral authority. I want moral authority. Check. We've got that. The magisterium of the Catholic Church, the teaching office of the Catholic Church, faith and morals. The things that you have to believe to be Catholic. She wants the big questions of life to be answered. That's one of the things that she put a lot of stress on, that these Instagram priestesses like Gwyneth Paltrow, Gabriel Bernstein, Brené Brown, Glennon Doyle, they're not answering these questions. Why are we here? Why do we suffer? What should we believe in beyond the limits of our puny selfhood? Well, guess what we've got? You know, why are we here? Well, you know, the old Baltimore Catechism used to answer that question, that Q&A format. You know, God created me so that I could know him, enjoy him, love him, and be with him in this life and forever in the next. Why do we suffer? Why do we suffer? Well, that question can really, and we talked about this the other day too with Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. As St. Thomas Aquinas said, that was really one of the two only legitimate objections to the existence of God, the problem of evil and suffering in the world. How could a good God create a universe in which evil and suffering exist? Well, part of the answer for that is free will. He didn't create us as robots. He didn't create us as beings that didn't have the freedom to choose. If you're really going to love God, you have to be free to love. When I married my wife 16 years ago today, I didn't put a gun to her head and say, marry me or else. She freely chose to take my hand in marriage, and I hers. So love has to be free. That's the first question that you're asked, you know, at a wedding mass in the Catholic Church. Have you come here freely? Or is your mother-in-law making you do this? That's a terrible answer. So part of this is tied up in human freedom. But we have a God who personally suffered in Jesus, who experienced rejection, who experienced murder. He was murdered. He suffered unjust treatment. He was, you name it, anything that you're going through, you can put it on his life and find something there that you can identify with. He's not unaware, aloof from suffering. He's experienced it. He doesn't just know it exists. He experienced it himself. What do we believe in? What should I believe in? Besides the limits of our puny selfhood, well, the creed tells us what we should believe in. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. And it goes on. And in Jesus Christ, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's what we need to believe in, because that is the truth. And that's going to give us what you're looking for. Because the human heart, the human mind is created for truth. That's why inquiring minds want to know. We're always looking for knowledge, for truth. And God can fill that. That's what St. Augustine talked about. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. We're going to be right back after this short break on the Cale Clark Show, 1-888-914-9149.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
This is The Cale Clark Show, giving you the confidence you need to bring the faith into everyday life.
Hey, welcome back. We're talking about this interesting article, The Empty Religions of Instagram in the New York Times by Lee Stein. And we've had a lot of fruitful discussion on this. And really, what these nuns are looking for, and by nuns, I mean N-O-N-E-S, these people in the culture, most of them are millennials who claim no religious affiliation. How can we reach these people? Well, what they're looking for, really all they're looking for, can be found in the Catholic Church. One of the things that Lee Stein writes about, she says, I find myself craving role models who are not only righteous crusaders, but humble and merciful. Well, that's Jesus. And she sounds a lot like, to me, it just made me think of the woman at the well in John chapter 4, who's been married to 5 husbands, split up with all of them, living with another guy. I'm not, by the way, just to be clear, I'm not saying that's what Lee Stein is doing. The woman at the well in John 4 was looking for really the divine bridegroom. And the man she was currently living with isn't her husband. She's looking for love in all the wrong places, like that old country song says. And the divine bridegroom is the one speaking to her. He is the one who can show her what love really is, what it's all about. So a lot of what the nuns are looking for can be found in the Catholic Church. She mentions confession. She mentions a woman who is leaving comments on the Instagram account of Glennon Doyle, who's this New York Times bestselling author, one of the high priestesses of the electronic church, not getting any answers. A confession without a confessor. We need real confession. And she's Lee Stein writes, our screens are distracting us from engaging with the most important questions. Maybe we need to actually go to something like church, like a real church. We do need this, the communion of saints, to be sure. You know, and I was sharing this article with my wife, Trish, who's way smarter than me, way more insightful. She should probably have her own show, I'll tell you. And she said something really profound. She said, really, this whole article is kind of a modern parable about children who don't listen to their parents, but they'll listen to their friends. So, for example, if your mom says, hey, it's cold outside, put on a jacket. You know, before you go to school, you're going to get a chill. You're going to catch a cold. And the kid might say, whatever, mom, forget it. All I need is a sweater. Goes to school. As soon as the kid arrives at school, all the cool kids see this kid and they say, hey, where's your jacket? Are you an idiot? It's freezing outside. Oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe I should go home and grab it. You know, when the mom said it, you didn't care. But when the other kids, the cool kids say it, oh, maybe I should listen. So I thought that was kind of interesting because a lot of the things that she says she's looking for, answers to the big questions of life, moral authority, confession, somebody who's humble and merciful, these can be found in the Catholic Church, in Holy Mother Church. And Holy Mother Church is like that parent. She knows a few things. She's been around for a long time. She's got a lot of wisdom. Might want to check out what she has to say. But there's also a flip side way in which this article works like that. This person who wrote the article, Lee Stein, she's one of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, no religious affiliation. So maybe it takes nun to reach the nuns, if you know what I mean. If she's an avowed nun, and by that I don't mean an N-U-N who's taken a religious vow, someone who's a nun, no religious affiliation, maybe she can speak in a unique way to the spiritual longings of her fellow nuns that, in a sense, maybe the church can't. I don't know. It's an interesting question to ponder, to be sure. So check out that article. I linked to it on my Twitter page, at Cale Clark, and you can see that. Lots of great responses there, to be sure. All right. Well, listen, I can't believe it. We've almost come to the end of another week. We've got a few minutes left in the show. I want to make sure we have enough time for the week that was. Producer Lucas Holt has been working really hard on it, and he's going to spin it for you right now. The Cale Clark Show, the week that was. But yes, your cat doesn't even like you. They run under the bed as soon as you come home. It's totally different when you have a dog. Anyways, I'm only kidding, cat lovers. I'm losing my brain cells like so fast these days. I used to be like, Trivial Pursuit for me wasn't just a game, it was a lifestyle. I could remember any of these arcane facts. I'm losing it now.
St. Therese, the little flower, she really helped our family out. My wife's uncle, had a stroke, and they said, you know, oh, well, you know, he's probably not going to talk again. He may not even live. So So wow. The family and I, you know, we got down, prayed to Divine Mercy and asked St. Therese. He said, hey, it's your feast day. We're asking for your intercession here. And the next day, he was sitting up in bed. He was able to talk and swallow. And it was, really, it was a miracle.
My six-year-old daughter would like to share who her favorite saint is.
Sure, absolutely.
Of course.
Yeah, come on.
My favorite saint is St. Athanasia.
Now, here's a quote from Edith Stein. This is such a great quote for our modern day. Here's what she says. Along with this risk of excessive self-importance comes a risk of excessive interest in others to the point of a perverse desire to penetrate into personal lives. This obsession with other people's affairs does justice neither to the self nor to the humanity of another, and risks taking time away from other, much more important responsibilities. End of quote. That is like the quote for the social media age.
I've been listening to your show when I come home from work. Really appreciate it. It's really helped me out a lot. You're really entertaining. You guys really helped me out spiritually.
The Dominican Father, Patrick Mary Briscoe, is my guest today. Why is love the greatest theological virtue? And it's the one that's going to remain with us in the afterlife.
This is so cool. Yeah, this is a big point of discussion in the Dominican tradition, according to the theology of St. Thomas Aquinas. So I'm electric about this question.
Father John Ubel, he's going to be auctioning off his prized possession of baseball cards to benefit Catholic education in the St. Paul, Minnesota area.
So if the people go to aimhigherfoundation.org, oneword.org, everything is right there.
Go Dodgers!
From California, of course you're going to say that. Patrick was very happy to let you on the air, let's put it that way.
My family, we had some good come out of the pandemic. Because of the pandemic, we are converting to Catholicism. My mother was raised Catholic. She's actually from Italy. Because of our conversion and us going to Catholic Mass, we've actually brought my mother back to the church.
I started listening to Relevant Radio. I've been listening to it every single day. I have an hour commute each way. I feel like God is speaking to me maybe through the pandemic because I'm now listening to this, and I'm not sure. I'm wondering if he's trying to show me that maybe we should reconcile our marriage.
Mercy is God's greatest attribute. It's not his omniscience. It's not the fact that he's all-knowing. It's not the fact that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere at once, that he's all-powerful. It's that he chooses to forgive. He doesn't have to do that, but he does. And this is really what the gift of Easter is all about. Whoa! Producer Lucas Holt did it again. Man, he always comes through in the clutch. The week that was on the Cale Clark Show, that was epic. That was absolutely epic. That may be the best one you've ever done, Lucas. I don't know how you have the time to pull this together, but wow, that was great. Thank you so much for doing that.
You bet. Well, my job was easy because we had so many great calls that came in, so many great guests that honestly, I just threw it all together and the Holy Spirit's guiding things and doing work. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, you just put it in a blender. Press exactly. The spin cycle and out it comes. No, it's so much fun. Yeah, we did have a lot of great callers. I want to thank everybody who's been listening to the show and sending us encouraging messages. It really just it keeps us going. It really does. We read them all because of the sheer volume of messages, emails that we get. We can't respond to all of them personally, unfortunately, but we do read every single one of them, and we do pray for every single person who contacts us at kale@relevantradio.com or who calls in the show. Obviously, if you get on the air, that's awesome, but even those who can't, we do pray for you, and we're so thankful that you listen and take the time to spend part of your day with us, to be sure. So what are your plans this weekend, Lucas?
Oh, that is a good question. Well, I should probably catch up on some of the movies that you and Karen have been putting in the document, because I'm terrible at watching movies, so I'm probably going to try and catch up on some of those. How about you?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because before the show started, Patrick Alog and I were trying to convince Lucas to watch some Rambo movies. Maybe that's a bad idea. First Blood. The first one's a classic. It's different. It's a little different, but Stallone always comes through. I think we need to be a little bit more highbrow. I don't know. Maybe we need to watch Sense and Sensibility or something. But anyways, hopefully we've tried to give you some sense of how great the Catholic faith is. Lucas Holt produced. Patrick Alog screened the calls. Karen Moran was on a well-deserved time off day, maybe sipping a drink on a hammock somewhere in Arizona. Have a great weekend, Karen. Thanks for listening, everybody. Timmy's up next. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.